Welcome to the Church Times podcast. Try 10 issues for £10 or 2 months access to our website and apps also for £10. Go to churchtimes.co.uk/new-reader.
Welcome to the Church Times podcast. I'm Francis Martin, a reporter for the Church Times. And in this week's episode, I speak with Father Fadi Diab, the rector of St Andrew's Church, Ramallah, in the West Bank, during his recent trip to the UK.
Father Fadi, thank you for joining me. You've spent a few days now in the UK. What has been your impression of the support for the people of Palestine here?
Well, I have been for less than a week and I've been meeting with different leaders, groups and congregations. I can tell that many people show great concern about what is going on and the amount of violence inflicted upon the Palestinian people, especially the people of Gaza. I think people are very much concerned and very, very much in support of the end of this war immediately.
What can people do here? What are you telling people? I imagine a lot of people come to you and say, you know, we want to help, but we don't know what to do. What do you tell those people?
I think people has different choices to do to show solidarity with the Palestinian people. Leaders, I think, have the option to reach out for the government or for their MPs, write letters to them, urge them to put pressure on the UK government, to put pressure on the Israeli government to stop the war. People, of course, in churches, they continue to pray for peace and justice for the inflicted and victims of this war. People have different, I mean, I met people who opt to, you know, march in the streets and show solidarity with the Palestinian people. I've met people who promise to connect with their, you know, especially Christian brothers and sisters in the Holy Land. People can even, support charities that can provide help for people impacted by the war. So there are different options that people can do.
In terms of the protests, I'm sure you know that there's been, the government in particular has been critical at times of the protests. What's your impression of those protests? I don't know whether you were able to witness them or join them on Saturday, but you know, how do you respond to those?
Well, I haven't the chance to join the protest simply because I've been, you know, my program is very full and I've been in other engagements, but I've met people in the streets. I met people in churches. I met clergy and lay people who are participating in the protest. I think in a country where there is freedom and democracy, people have the freedom to march the streets to protest against the war. And I think it's very decent. It's very virtuous to march on the streets for a just cause, to stop a war. I mean, no one likes a war. No one should actually in any way support a war. Wars are against God's will. Killing the other is against God's will. And marching for peace, reconciliation, and justice is one of the things that are very important we do to put pressure on government or countries that wage wars to stop them.
In terms of the war, obviously, I think in this country, people are, you know, quite aware of what's going on in Gaza, but perhaps less aware of the increases of violence and harassment in the West Bank, where you minister and live. Could you talk perhaps a little about how the experience of living in the West Bank has been affected over the last few months, since the 7th of October? How have things changed?
Well, you're right. I think because of the devastation and destruction and amount of victims and the number of victims in Gaza, people tend to focus more on Gaza and forget about what's happening in the West Bank. Well, life in the West Bank has turned upside down since the first week of October. But we need also to remember that, people in the West Bank, Palestinians in the West Bank, have been under military occupation for more than 55 years now. And life in the West Bank has not been better before the first week of October. But since October, there has been intensification of restrictions and Israeli troop incursions into cities and towns in the West Bank. There have been 500 casualties, people killed since the first week of October. More than 7,000 people arrested, and more home demolition, more checkpoints. Even Israel is imposing a new restriction where gates are installed at the entrance of each city and village. Other checkpoints has been closed. If you want to travel because of the violence of the settlers. Life has dramatically changed in the West Bank. Many, especially among the Christian community and the Muslim community, have relatives in Gaza. So people lost, family members, people lost relatives in Gaza. And beside that, I think the economy is devastated because Israel revoked the permits, work permits of more than 150,000 people or workers who used to go and work in Israel, and they have not been able to to work for the last 6 months. Adding huge economic hardships on the Palestinian community. Israel refused to give the Palestinians their own tax revenues that Israel collects on behalf of the Palestinians, which added to the hardships on the Palestinian economy, who have not received their salaries or receive only a portion, like 50 or 50, 40 or 50% of their salaries for 2 years now. So, all of this has created a huge pressure on the Palestinian community, leaving them traumatized, devastated. But again, that is not in any way compared to the amount of, pain in Gaza.
I was in Ramallah, your parish, in the summer. Unfortunately, not at a time when you happened to be there, sadly, visiting a youth camp organized by the diocese. And it makes me wonder, how are the young people that attend your churches, that live in Ramallah, live in those areas, how are they being affected by the situation that you describe?
I think, Francis, the young people in particular, the youth, especially youth in our churches and society, are very much disillusioned and frustrated by what is happening. I have a son who's in his senior year and has to, focus on his studies during this senior year. But with all what is happening, with all the footage and videos and and news that comes from Gaza, it's very hard to focus on what you're doing. Many young people lost hope that there gonna be peace one day in the future, especially with the rise of violence, especially the Israeli society towards the right and far right, and the rejection of the creation of a Palestinian state or the Palestinian self-determination. So I would say young people, our young people, the Palestinian young people are very much frustrated, very much despair. And most of them in the last, we have seen an increased wish towards immigration and leaving the country. There are many students who finish high school and find way to go to study at the university outside of Palestine. Most of them won't come back. So there is a huge pressure on the young people to leave. I mean, in the last 2 months, especially with the restrictions of movement, we couldn't, like our youth group couldn't participate in church activities in other places or conferences or gatherings, because it's not safe for them to travel on the roads.
In terms of the situation in Gaza, what are you able to do? What contact are you able to have with people you know there? Obviously, the Diocese of Jerusalem has a lot of projects, has a lot of people in Gaza. How much contact can you have? How much practically can you do to help in that awful situation?
Well, I think the Diocese of Jerusalem runs a hospital in Gaza. It was the first hospital that was targeted and hit the first week of the war. We continue also to reach out with the people at the hospital to check on them and see how things are going. We are able also to contact some members in the Catholic and Orthodox churches who, as you know, took refuge in these sanctuaries now for more than 5 months, six months. What we are trying to do, I mean, our main concern is to call for a ceasefire and achieve that. Because that would make a huge difference on the life of the community of Gaza. But at the same time, we try very much to raise awareness about the Christian community who are stuck in these two places. And as you know, 18 members of the Christian community were killed by an airstrike at the Orthodox compound. And another two women were killed by a sniper in the Catholic. Among them, people who have relatives in our community and in the Ramallah community. So people lost brothers and sisters and relatives, cousins, uncles, aunts in these attacks. I mean, one of the things that we care much is to talk to NGOs and human rights groups to find ways to get them food and supplies. I am also a member of the group that works with the World Council of Churches in Gaza. And so we reach out to whether locals or internationals to try to help these people inside the churches. We know how difficult it is for them to remain inside a church compound now for 6 months.
You've met the Archbishop of Canterbury in the course of your visit here to the UK. He's not always been fully backed by Palestinian Christians and Palestinian Anglicans in his statements. What was your impression, seeing him face to face, what was your impression of his understanding of and support for Palestinians and Palestinian cause?
Well, I understand that the Palestinian community were not very happy with the statements at the beginning of the war released by the Archbishop of Canterbury. I think, because the pain is huge, People expected a more strong support for the cessation of all hostilities and standing with the oppressed Palestinian community and mainly the Anglican Palestinian community. But as I visited the Archbishop of Canterbury, and I am very grateful for his for this visit and for his time, I find he is very much concerned and he's very much upset, angry about the loss of lives. He stands firm in solidarity with the Christian community in the Holy Land. I think I can tell that he's much aware of the situation now. He follows the development of the situation in Gaza and in the West Bank, and he's informed about what is happening. I was glad to see his commitment to working more with the politicians, with the government, the UK government, toward supplying or allowing food to go into Gaza for the immediate ceasefire, call for ceasefire.
You're visiting the UK, and part of the purpose of your visit, as I understand it, is to talk about the work of Friends of the Holy Land, an organization which many will have heard of. But could you just describe to us how helpful organizations like that are in situations like this, when the war is and the conflict is at such a crisis point, really?
Yeah, as you said, Francis, this visit is sponsored and organized by Friends of the Holy Land, which is an ecumenical charity started 15 years ago by a joint Catholic and Anglican charity mission. I think this is the time where these charities are very much needed, as the situation is very critical, and people are in very much in need of support. I myself chair the local committee of Friends of the Holy Land in Palestine, and what we're trying to do at this point is provide support for needy families. For families who lost their, work, for families who cannot provide for their children, or for families who do not have the means to buy their medications. Friends of the Holy Land has been doing wonderful work in the Palestinian societies among the Christian community, supporting, individuals and organizations in terms of education, healthcare, social needs. So yeah, you're right. I think I know that many charities are now working hard to respond to the human crisis in Gaza and in the West Bank, and I think their work is very much appreciated. And I think we need all to understand that there is a humanitarian crisis. And our world, and in particular the churches, have always been effective in addressing human crises. And Friends of the Holy Land continues to work hard in the UK to raise awareness, to raise to educate people about the Christian community and the Christian ministry and mission, but also to raise funds to support Christians and Christian institutions in Palestine. I think it is very important that we understand that the need is very huge.
Coming back briefly to Archbishop Welby, the criticisms you mentioned of his early statements, in particular during the war, some of those criticism came from members of your congregation, not from yourself, but a letter was written that called on Archbishop Welby to take a firmer, stronger stance. When you return to Ramallah, to your parishes in the West Bank, what will you tell them of your visit here and the support that you've experienced and witnessed in the UK?
Well, I think as I said, Francis, because the pain is great, the Christian community expected church leaders, including Archbishop of Canterbury Justin Welby, to stand firm in support with the Palestinian people and to stand firm in calling for a ceasefire at the very beginning. And I think they wanted to see leaders among them. And I think one of the things that didn't happen then is that the Archbishop couldn't visit, congregations and parishes inside the Palestinian territories to show solidarity with them, to be with them. I know the war was very, at the very beginning, people may not be able to move easily. But yeah, that was important for the community to feel that, the Christian leaders around the world stand firm in calling for justice for the Palestinians. But I think, since October, I can see a shift, not only in leadership position, but also and grassroots and people's position toward the need to stop this war, the need to respect the Palestinian call or right for self-determination, the need to respect people's right to movement, people's right to security. And I mean, I can tell you from my visit with the Archbishop of Canterbury that I really see a commitment from the Archbishop's side to work for stronger position with the government and to push forward to solving this, not only this war, but also this conflict. I'm sure the Archbishop of Canterbury has plans and programs and paths to do that, and I'm confident that he will do that.
Father Fadi, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Francis. Very good to talk to you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Church Times podcast. You can find more news, analysis, comment, and book reviews on our website, churchtimes.co.uk. If you are not yet a subscriber to the Church Times, you can try your first 10 issues for just £10. You'll get the paper delivered to your door every Friday, plus full access to our website and digital archive. Go to churchtimes.co.uk/subscribe to find out more.